People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. And it's all about ballet, because soon here in Cape Town, that magnificent ballet by Tchaikovsky, Swan Lake, will be opening. In fact, it opens on the 25th of July, and it'll be at the Cape Town International Convention Center, which is something somewhat different. So I've invited into the studio today Kirstel Patterson, who's the principal ballerina here at Cape Town City Ballet and has had really quite an extraordinary career. And Kirstel will be dancing the lead role, Odile Odette. And so there's lots to find out about you. But first of all, welcome, Kirstel. Welcome back to People of Note, because you have been here before.
I have. Thank you, Rodney. It's lovely to be here again.
But at the moment, when we're recording this at the moment, you are between Johannesburg and Cape Town, aren't you? Because this production is a joint production with Cape Town Ballet and Johannesburg.
That's correct. So I flew up last week with the rest of the company, and then I flew back towards the end of last week to spend a little bit more time with my family and carry on rehearsing here in Cape Town, while the rest of Cape Town City Ballet is still up in Joburg. They'll be there for a total of 4 weeks. And they are rehearsing with the Joburg Ballet dancers and management, and everyone's trying to get the production together so that they can, our first performance of the collaboration will be in Joburg.
So the idea of this combined thing is something really new, isn't it? I can't remember Cape Town City Ballet and Joburg Ballet ever having performed together.
I think they did, but I think that was 30 years ago. There was some kind of collaboration. Entirely sure of the details. But here and there during my career with Cape Town City Ballet, Joburg Ballet dancers have come and done certain roles in Cape Town and vice versa. Cape Town's gone up to Joburg, but we've never done a full collaboration, I mean, since I've been around. So I think that's really, really quite cool.
And Kirstel, how long have you been around, may I ask?
I started my career in 2008, so a while.
But wait. How long have you been principal ballerina?
I have been a principal ballerina since 2019, so 6 years.
Okay, that's quite a stretch, isn't it? Well, stretch being the operative word, I
yes.
suppose. And this ballet, Swan Lake, we all know it's one of the great and best-known ballets. Well, the three Tchaikovsky ones are so well-known, Sleeping Beauty and Nutcracker. But Swan Lake has an aura about it that I think not even something as wonderful and famous as the Sleeping Beauty has.
I think Swan Lake is so well-known, and a lot of, you know, TV adverts have a little bit of Swan Lake music here and there.
Yes.
And also, obviously, during Christmas time, Nutcracker is always around. But I think as a dancer, Swan Lake is an incredible challenge and a wonderful milestone to reach, and such a huge, huge accomplishment.
Yes, I'm sure.
Because it's completely opposite. You have to play two different kinds of people, well, swans, and it can be quite challenging.
We were talking about the music just now.
The music
is so well known as well, isn't it? Just to finish that bit off.
Yes.
And when you say it's like reaching the peak, I mean, what does one do after you've danced Odette, Odile? That really, really is a peak, isn't it?
It is a peak. I think at the end of a performance, you fall flat and you just go. I think, you know, you're emotionally, physically, mentally drained. But it is one of those top ones. I think every dancer aspiring to be a principal dancer, or just it's one of those that you can kind of tick off your list.
And you've definitely ticked it off.
Yes.
Have you done it before?
I have, yes. I've done the role of Odette twice with Cape Town City Ballet. And then my first debut of Odile, I did Odette Odile when I was dancing with Joburg Ballet for a little bit. And then now I'm doing it again. So,
Kirstel, just explain the difference between Odette and Odile, because basically it's the same person, but with rather an important difference.
Yes, so Odette is very soft. She's very sad. She's a princess that's been turned into a swan by an evil sorcerer. And she is, you know, waiting for her true love to come and break the spell. So she's very soft. She's strong, but she's, you know, very lyrical in her movements. Whereas Odile is, if you can imagine, the complete opposite. You know, Odette wears a white tutu. Odile wears a black tutu. She's strong, dynamic. She's sensual. She's, you know, she's spicy.
She's out there.
She's very much out there. And she's out to get Prince Siegfried and to trick him into swearing his love for her instead of Odette, therefore making Odette a swan forever. So she's vindictive, she's malicious, she's all the nasty things.
You look as though you're enjoying saying that.
I do. I enjoy it because it's quite a challenge. Because for me, Odette is a lot easier to get into character, whereas Odile, with the dynamics and the steps and everything, it's quite a challenge and it's wonderful to master.
But it seems so incredibly different. As you say, you couldn't imagine two more different characters. And I wonder why it was written like that. Why didn't they have two dancers?
I think originally they did. Way back when. I think there was an Odette and then there was a different dancer for Odile because the two ballerinas at the time were completely different. And I think they were written into the ballet that way.
Okay.
And then as dancers progressed and our technique got stronger and better, I think they decided that it would be one dancer who could do both.
My goodness.
I'm not entirely sure of the history of that, but there is a history of it.
Okay. Because it is such an iconic role as well. Both of them are so iconic, and yet it's the same person playing them.
Yes.
Is that one called the Black Swan?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Odile is the Black Swan.
Is the Black Swan.
Yes.
The naughty one, the saucy one.
Yes,
the
mischievous
saucy one.
Yes.
Christelle, let me hear your first choice of music, the Beatles, and that lovely song, Here Comes the Sun.
Oh, yes.
Is there a reason you chose this?
We used to sing it to our daughter when she was born.
Oh, that's a lovely
story.
Yeah,
we always used to play the Beatles, and yeah, she just sat. Well, obviously, when she's a baby, she didn't do much, but she did, like, she relaxed a bit, I think.
And how old is your baby?
She's now, in 2 weeks, she'll be four.
Oh, so, okay, so still a baby.
Still a baby, yeah.
Let's listen to the baby song.
It's all right.
A beautiful song by the Beatles, I think you'll agree. Here Comes the Sun. And it was the first choice of my guest on People of Note here on Fine Music Radio this week, Kirstel Patterson, who is dancing. I nearly said singing. I'm sure you turned to that. Who's dancing the lead role in the upcoming production of Swan Lake here towards the end of July with Cape Town City Ballet and Joburg Ballet, a combined effort. And effort, I think, is the word because it's a big, big work, isn't it?
That's right.
A fairly large cast, isn't it?
It is a large cast. I mean, both companies are relatively smaller than they used to be, but to have all the dancers together in one space is actually quite beautiful.
I'm sure it is.
Especially the swans. I mean, with Swan Lake, you need lots of quarter ballet ladies, and it's just looking really fabulous.
It's Veronica Paper, isn't it? She's coordinating the whole thing based on productions from some years ago.
Marius Petipa. And she's producing it after him. So it's kind of her version of Swan Lake, which is basically when a producer comes in and does a version of, it's pretty much the same thing, just certain things here and there, little nuances, little interpretations here and there, an arm direction will be different. So it's basically the same, but they'll have their own little thing. And I mean, as you know, Veronica Paper is a wonderful storyteller. So it's nice to be able to have her in the space and guide us with the story.
She's had such a remarkable career, hasn't she?
She has,
She's done so many ballets. And as you say, she's a storyteller. I remember when I had her on People of Note, I said to her, how do you tell a story with, how do you do it? And it was interesting to hear how she answered that question, except that I can't quite remember the detail. When you did Swan Lake the last time, was she also the producer?
No, so the last time I did Swan Lake was when I was dancing at Joburg Ballet. So my husband and I went up there for just under 3 years. So then it was Ian MacDonald's version of Swan Lake. So roughly based on the Royal Ballet version.
Right.
So a little bit different to what we're doing now.
Is that not slightly difficult to, I mean, you get to know a ballet in a certain way and suddenly now you're doing something really quite different, I suppose.
Yes, I think in terms of choreography, they are a little bit different, but I think the storyline is the same. But I think in the beginning of a rehearsal process, it's kind of reprogramming your brain because your body goes into automatic and it wants to do the things it was doing. And now you have to kind of redirect that train of thought. The stage we're in now, it's, I don't have to think about the steps really anymore. It's kind of just getting the story to happen and now the new version. Do you know what I mean? And then the next time, this version will be in my body and I'll have to relearn something else.
Yeah. Well, it's a challenge.
It is
a challenge.
Yeah.
And Kirstel, what about the, my mind's just gone blank. You just have to do a quick edit here. What about the, and Kirstel is very important, I presume, well, in all ballet, who your partner is. And your main partner is Siegfried, isn't he? That's the man you dance with most.
Yes.
And I'm sure that is very important who it might be. Do you ever have an experience, you don't have to answer this, where you think, oh, no, not him, I'm never going to manage, or, oh, yay, I'm so glad he's doing it? Because it's so integral to your performance.
Absolutely. And I think the last couple of years, since COVID actually, I've been performing with Leerson Munez. He's wonderful, a Brazilian man who stayed with Cape Town City Ballet since COVID, and he's tall and wonderful, and he always makes me look good, and he makes things effortless. I can trust him with anything. I know that, you know, he's going to get me up in a lift, or he's going to make me turn well, or something like that. And I think what makes mine and Lewison's partnership so special and unique is that we really get lost in our characters together, and there's so much back and forth, which is a dream, because for me, yes, the ballet is important, but the story, I think I'm very much on Veronica Paper's side there with regards to the story and helping people escape. So
that's helping people to escape. That's a lovely way, because ballet is in a way escape, isn't it? It's a different world. There's no words. You just sit there with this glorious music. And with a ballet like Swan Lake, something as famous and, as we said earlier, as big as Swan Lake, how long do you have to work on it before you go on stage and open?
It varies from company to company. I know, for example, Joburg Ballet have been rehearsing it for a while. We went off to Durban to do Coppelia. So we've actually only put our heads to the ground since beginning of June. But it can take anywhere from, you can have a rush production of like 4 or 5 weeks. But that also helps if all the dancers know the ballet and have done it previously. So then it kind of just comes together. Whereas if you have a lot of youngsters who haven't done the production before, it takes a little bit longer for it to get in their bodies and things like that. So it can range anywhere from 3 months to 5 weeks or whatever the company's got time for.
The company that you work for, let's talk about Cape Town City Ballet at the moment. Have they got a lot of people in this company that are doing this for the first time?
Yes, a lot. I think there's only a handful of us who have done this production before. It's been a from scratch kind of, you know, teaching the choreography from scratch, getting the style down, all those kinds of things. So it's been a task, but the ladies and the gents are doing so well.
Yeah. And stylistically and all that, we're joining up, as we said earlier, unusually with Joburg Ballet. It's the same producer, choreographer, really. So there's no major difference in style between the two companies.
No, I think in terms of company style, it's different, but production style, it would be the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you ever get goose flesh when you hear that wonderful music?
All the time.
Really?
every production I do, the overture is my most important part, because I always find myself on my own. I lie down on the floor with my pointe shoes, my dress, everything, even if I'm not allowed to. I lie down in the dressing room and I just listen to the overture of any production. But the Swan Lake production, the music is out of this world and it captures anybody. And if I can just get that into my body and just hear it, it just helps with characterization.
Okay. And then how long is it before Odile or Odette makes her first entry?
Odette is the first to make her entrance, and she only is at the beginning of Act 2.
Oh, okay.
So I have to wait the whole of Act 1.
What do you do then? Do you listen as well?
I listen, and I'll warm up, or I'll go through my, slowly walk through my choreography, I'll move my arms, I'll kind of just get into character, and then hopefully by the time I step my foot on stage, it's all there, and I just have to enjoy.
Swing into it.
Yeah.
Let's have another piece of music, Estelle. Yeah. And you've chosen Birds of a Feather by Billie Eilish.
Yes.
What is this all about?
I just really like the track. It's feel good. I like the melody. It's just one of those songs that catches me every time I hear it.
That's Billie Eilish for you, and called Birds of a Feather. And in fact, it was the second choice of my guest on People of Note this week here on Fine Music Radio. I'm talking to Kirstel Patterson. Kirstel is here. She's a member of Cape Town City Ballet, and they're about to open with Swan Lake in Johannesburg, first of all, and then here in Cape Town towards the end of July. In fact, on the 25th of July, they open at the Cape Town International Convention Center. Do you, just listening to that, and as you introduced that song, you said you like to listen to it when you just feel like unwinding, with this glorious music that surrounds you all day in your job, do you listen to music at home and casually and privately?
All the time.
Do you?
My husband and I have a big passion for music, so he's constantly finding bands and artists that he likes or thinks I might like, so, and our genres range from polar sides. Like, it's crazy how much different music we like in our
Now,
house.
You mentioned your husband is not a dancer. He's out in the commercial world. But does he enjoy coming to watch you dance and enjoy the world of ballet?
Yes, he does. He's supported me like no other. It's a hard career because, obviously, lots of weekends and late nights and things
And being
like
away,
that.
As you've just said.
And being away. I don't often go away, but this year I would have gone away 3 times, which is much more than normal. Mm-hmm. But he's so hands-on and ready for anything and very, very supportive.
Well, that's good. And yes. It helps you, I'm sure, to feel secure.
Absolutely.
When you're away, he can be mother and father all at the same time.
Absolutely, yeah.
I want to find out just a bit more about you. Where were you born?
I was born in Durban, but my family moved down here, I think, in 1995. Yes. So I was little. 1994, I think, we came down here. So I was born in 1987. And yeah, pretty much Capetonian, I would say.
Okay, well, I would say so too, yes. And you lived here ever since, except for that time in Johannesburg.
Yes, we did a stint in Joburg from 2014 to 2017.
Okay.
Yeah. Also for husband's work. And then I just joined Joburg Ballet for a bit, and then we came back here.
Oh, that's very convenient.
Yes.
And Kirstel, tell me about how you got into ballet. What caused you to want to become a ballet dancer? What did you see or do or hear?
My mom not orchestrated. She was behind everything. She, her mom took her to all the ballets and productions and things like that. So the performing arts was always in the family. And my mom used to take me to every production of, I think back then it was K-Pab.
That's right.
And the one production I remember, which is still a very special production for me, is Giselle. I remember sitting on the side, you know, the cheap seats. And watching this line of ladies in their long, beautiful tutus, romantic tutus. And I just said, I just want to be one of those girls. I didn't even want to be the main person. I just wanted to be one of those ladies on stage. And I begged my mom. And she, I think since the age of 3, I begged her. And she only sent me when I was 5. And I went to a wonderful ballet teacher who nurtured me, guided me, you know, helped create this love of this art form. And yeah, I think the rest is history.
It seems to be. And you graduated from UCT, the School of Dance there, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did. So after matric, I did a dance teacher's diploma at UCT. And alongside that, I was what was then called an apprentice with Cape Town City Ballet, where I would join in certain seasons as a quarter ballet member. And then I think in 2008, Professor Trichard, who was CEO then, offered me a full-time contract.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of like fell into place everything.
Well, your career has fallen into place very nicely, hasn't
yes,
it, actually?
Yeah.
You mentioned Giselle just now, and I just was thinking as you mentioned that, isn't that the most lovely ballet? It's a short ballet, but it is so beautiful.
It's one of my ultimates. I've done the lead role of Giselle 6 times, so never mind how many other roles I've done before that, like in the production. So it is one of those that is absolutely, you know, top for me.
Yes, it was the first ballet I ever saw.
Really?
I also come from Durban, as you said you were born there, but I lived there for many years. And then there was a theater there called the Alhambra Theater.
Okay.
And I saw Giselle with the Knapac Ballet Company.
Oh,
as
wow.
West End. And I've never forgotten ballet as a result of that particular ballet. And like Tchaikovsky, beautiful, beautiful music.
Yes, beautiful. During matric, I used to listen to it to study.
Okay,
that Romeo and Juliet and Swan Lake, can you believe it?
Well, Romeo and Juliet is another great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Almost like Well, Swan Lake, it's one of the great ballets, and I know we've got a piece coming up from it in a moment.
Yes, yeah.
But I haven't finished just yet with your you've just looking at here Giselle and Odette Odile and Swan Lake, Romeo and Juliet. You came back as a soloist in 2017, you've won awards, all sorts of things. So it's been a life well lived and still being lived.
Yes, definitely. I think it's important to have a work-life balance because this career can take its toll and it's very consuming.
Yes.
So I think I've been really lucky, especially with my husband. You know, it's very easy not to stay grounded in this career, and I'm so grateful for him for keeping me grounded and just like not having blinkers on. Like I can open my eyes to everything. Mm-hmm. I think we have a really good work-life balance. Obviously, sometimes it gets a little intense with production week and late nights and all of that, but yeah, it is. It's quite challenging, this career.
And it's you've got to keep yourself on top form physically all the time, don't you? All the time.
Oh, most of the time, yes. I think it does come in waves. Like there are times where we can pull back a little bit and recover and all sorts of things. But yeah, there is crunch time, and that's when you need to be in peak performance. You need to be fit enough to be able to get through a four-act ballet like Swan Lake, where the choreography is challenging, stamina, you know, you're dancing 15 minutes straight, no break. It's rough.
Rough, yeah. She said with a laugh. And you took 8 months off, it says here, after you became a mother in 2021.
Yes, so I had 5 months of maternity leave, I think. 5 months. Yes. And I stopped working 3 months before I had my baby. And then in the January of 2022, I came back with Giselle.
Mm-hmm.
So I had, 2 months to get back in shape for that. That was crazy.
That must be a bit of a thing, having gone through pregnancy and having had a baby, what it does to a woman's body. Did you struggle to get back, or were you in fit enough form to ease back into it?
I think for me, the hardest part was I had to have a cesarean because Sienna was breech. So I think the comeback from that, when you can't even like move your legs when you're lying on your back, like everything has to heal. Mm. That was very humbling.
I'm sure. And not worrying, I hope.
Yeah, a little bit worrying. But I think with every woman who has a baby, you go through your maternity leave and then you have this guilt that you have to leave your child to go back to work and things like that. So I think that was a hurdle for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I managed to get through that with lots of support and, you know, work was really helpful. I had a private Pilates instructor that was helping me, you know, who's helped dancers before who have had babies and cesareans. So I think in terms of that, I came back stronger than I was before. So that was really good.
It's a good story hearing about your life and your successes, Kirstel, I must say. But now, we were talking about Romeo and Juliet just now, and you've chosen the pas de deux, the balcony scene from Romeo and Juliet, the Prokofiev ballet. This is something special for you, is it?
Yes, very much so. Like I said, I used to listen to this ballet when I was studying for my matric exams. I remember sitting there. And it is a role that I waited a long time to do in my career, and I finally got the chance to do it. I've done it twice now, and it's just, it is an incredible ballet to do, and also another wonderful accomplishment and a goal to reach.
Is it very different from the Swan Lake, Odette and Odile?
Yes, I would say so. It is, it's so difficult actually, because Juliet is, it's a marathon. There's, I think in Veronica Paper's version, there's 5 different pas de deux you have to do throughout the whole production, which is, it's a lot.
That is a lot.
And you know, Veronica Paper's version, it's not the easiest. So, but I think in terms of character, I would say they're pretty much on par. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. A marathon, as you said, a marathon
yes,
run.
Yeah.
So let's listen. It's long, the balcony scene, but let's listen to part of it, including that lovely climax of Romeo and Juliet, the balcony scene, the glorious music of Prokofiev. part of the beautiful balcony scene from the ballet Romeo and Juliet by Prokofiev. And it's the choice of my guest, Christel Patterson, who is the principal ballerina at Cape Town City Ballet and who's dancing Swan Lake in the lead role of Odette and Odile. But we were just saying, isn't that music by Prokofiev wonderful? And I often think when you're there on stage and you hear some of the thunderous music of Tchaikovsky or Prokofiev coming through the floorboards, it must be really special, something we will never experience.
Yeah, I think having an orchestra to a performance or adding an orchestra to a performance just takes it to another level for the dancers and for the audience. Even if you're not a ballet lover, just sitting there and closing your eyes and listening to the orchestra play any kind of that caliber of music will just really, really enjoy it.
Now, talking about conductors, we must talk about conductors because you said how much you enjoyed working with Jonathan Lowe, who came out to do Romeo and Juliet,
yes,
didn't he?
Yes, yes.
Here in Cape Town. Well, then he returned as a symphony conductor. And I think it must be very important for a dancer to be able to rely on the conductor for flexibility or for firmness of tempi and all that sort of thing. The conductor must be extremely important.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Jonathan Lowe was wonderful. You know, he spent a lot of time with us in the studio, knowing each dancer's preference to tempo and things like that, which is really something we haven't really experienced before. We are very lucky that we get to have Brandon Phillips as our conductor. He's wonderful. I love him to bits and pieces. He's always there for us and he'll watch us and, you know, I always eye him or, you know, give him a little wink here and there, and he knows the tempos that I like. He's wonderful. Love to have him at the helm there.
I remember a conductor who worked quite a lot with Cape Town Ballet back in the K-Pab days, whose name shall be remain anonymous.
Okay.
Who really didn't like doing ballet. He said it was so irritating having to watch ballerinas' feet all the time, dominating his tempi. He wanted to do his own thing all the time.
Oh, shame. I think in terms of an orchestra and a ballet company, it's kind of a collaboration of sorts because one has to play nice with the other and vice versa.
Yes,
and
yes.
Yeah, just respect one another's arts.
Does the conductor work with the choreographer at all? I presume so initially.
Yes, so it depends on the production. If I have to generalize, Brandon comes in when we start doing runs of the ballet in the studio. And he'll sit there and he's got his score and he's doing his thing and watching us. And, you know, our ballet mistress or choreographer will say, we just need this a little bit slower. We need this a little bit more faster, those kinds of things. And he generally makes notes. And then by the time we get to actually rehearsing with the orchestra and the dancers, by the time we get to stage, he's generally up to scratch with what the dancers need. So, yeah.
I suppose that Brandon is very busy. I'm glad you like him because he seems to do everything.
He's always busy.
Operas, school concerts, community concerts, symphony concerts.
He's in high demand. Yes.
And
yes.
I think rightly so. He was the first winner of the Len Fonsale Conductors Competition way back then.
No, he's fab. I love him to bits. I'm so looking forward to having him when we come to Cape Town.
Mm-hmm. And it is a lovely score to conduct,
yes.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And all those wonderful highlights like the waltz, but you're not on stage for the big waltz in Act 1.
No, I'm not.
But isn't it amazing how Tchaikovsky managed to write three iconic waltzes for his three big ballets, the Waltz of the Flowers and the Nutcracker, the Sleeping Beauty Waltz and this Swan Lake Waltz, each quite different, but each completely irresistible.
Absolutely.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. And so we're going to come to another piece of music now, because this piece of music is by Max Richter. Mm. Now, I associate him with reimagining things in a slightly modern, almost minimalist way, like he did with the Four Seasons of Vivaldi.
Yeah.
Now, you've got something here called November. What are we going to hear?
So this was a track that cut deep into my soul.
Dramatic.
Very dramatic. I am an artist after all. And it was a piece that was in a production we did called Winter Dances. The choreographer was Kenneth Tindall. And this was the final track in his piece called Shades of You. And it's just one of those that stuck with me.
That's music by Max Richter, a piece called November. And it's another choice of my guest. We're talking to Kirstel Patterson on People of Note. Kirstel, what about modern dance? You know, I kind of get the impression that you're involved with classical ballet at the moment. But presumably, as a dancer and at the pinnacle of your career, you have to be able to do both.
I think, in general, dancers have to be versatile in their styles. I was exposed to a lot of different styles growing up. Modern, Irish, Spanish, jazz, tap.
You're talking about dancing those styles.
Yeah, dancing those styles. So yeah. I have a lot of experience, or, you know, so I am quite versatile. The thing with a company nowadays is you're not just expected to do classical ballet. So no, not just pink tights and tutus. You got to be able to do the flesh point shoes and the black tights or the flesh tights or whatever it is. I think that's just what audiences enjoy now. And as I've gotten older, I believe that it is a little bit easier to express yourself in more of a neoclassical / modern style than it is in the classics. But I think that's just the general progression as you get older in a company, which I think is why a lot of older dancers prefer ballets like that are not pink tights and tutus. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's very important to have a background of versatility.
But you seem to me to be very versatile because you've done a number of roles. There's a whole list here of roles that you've done.
Yes.
Have you got favorites? I mean, you might well say Swan Lake, but I mean... And you've mentioned Giselle.
Yes, and Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet.
I think the latest one for me was, and ties back to the track you just played with by Max Richter, Kenneth Tyndall. He's very neoclassical in his style, and it's so challenging, but such a wonderful way to express myself. And he gives you the freedom to explore that expression, which is really quite special in a choreographer. So, yeah, I would say Kenneth Tyndall is a wonderful choreographer to have. I really enjoyed Balanchine when we did a couple of those ballets. Yeah, I think I just try and find the best in everything, I guess. You know, I love the pink tights and tutus, but I also love the letting your hair down a bit kind of.
Oh, yes.
You know?
It sounds, though, like when you do the Black Swan.
Yes.
Letting your hair down a bit.
Yes.
Being nasty.
Yes, exactly.
It's interesting. I remember hearing an interview, I think, with an opera singer who was a baritone. And he said they get all the best roles, the basses and baritones, because they're the sort of evil ones.
Yes, yeah.
And you can let your hair down.
Yes, exactly.
Which I suppose you can do. Is Kenneth Tyndall, he's not South African, is he?
No. He's UK-based, and yeah, he now travels all over the world. He's won so many awards for his choreography and things like that. And he's put productions on like Alice in Wonderland, Carmen, all those kinds of things. So yeah, he's a wonderful choreographer.
You know what amazes me, but this might be a long, big subject to go into as we reach the end of the interview, or maybe not. I've always wondered how choreography travels. Like how, if you're having Kenneth Tyndall's choreography here, how does it get here? Is it in a book? Or how do you write down choreography?
So there is a way. When I was doing my dance teacher's diploma at UCT, we learned what's called the Benesch notation. So it's actually like you would have a music score. It's all movement score. Mm-hmm. And each symbol means something. So I learned about that when I was at UCT. But now, for example, with Kenneth Tyndall, he came into our studio with a blank canvas and he choreographed on us, which is slightly different to coming with a choreography. Normally what would happen was we'd either have a video or we'd have a notator come and teach us the steps, or we'd learn from the video and then the choreographer will tweak things, like what we've done with Swan Lake now with Veronica Paper. We've had a video, we've learnt it, and she'll tweak. So that's kind of what would happen with a choreography.
Thank you. That's a nice, concise answer. Thank you. But now we need to end. Kirstel, thank you for a lovely conversation, but we're going to end with a magnificent closing of Swan Lake. And what could be more magnificent than that? Do you agree?
I have no idea. This is the best music of the production or of the ballet, and it's such a wonderful climax to such an awesome story.
Well, thanks for chatting and thanks for sharing all these things with us, Kirstel. Kirstel Patterson has been my guest. Kirstel is dancing the lead in the production of Swan Lake with Cape Town City Ballet and Joburg Ballet. It opens on the 25th of July here, but not at Artscape. Remember, it's at the Convention Center, the Auditorium 1 at the International Convention Center. So that'll be interesting in itself. Let's go out with this great scene. Christelle, thank you.
Thank you, Rodney. It's been a pleasure.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.